Listeners have been emailing me about their great experiences when they visited a Tecovas store, the company renowned for upholding timeless traditions and delivering top-notch quality in every pair of cowboy boots. If you haven't experienced their exceptional craftsmanship firsthand, why wait any longer? Stop by your local Tecovas store, have a complimentary drink or two, and shop new styles. The smell of fresh leather and a friendly staff are at your service. Many stores even have custom leather branding to make your boots truly personalized. And with regular live music and events, there's no in-store experience like it. If you can't make it into a store, just visit Tecovas.com. That's Tecovas.com. They offer free shipping on all boots as well as free returns and exchanges and ship right to your door. Go to Tecovas.com and find your new favorite pair of boots today.
Say goodbye to your credit card rewards. Greedy corporate mega stores, led by Walmart and Target, are pushing for a law in Congress to take away your hard-earned cash back and travel points to line their pockets. The Durbin-Marshall credit card bill would enact harmful credit card routing mandates that would end credit card rewards as we know it. If you love your credit card rewards, tell your lawmakers, hands off my rewards. Tell them to oppose the Durbin-Marshall credit card bill.
With baseball in full swing and the NBA playoffs off to a hot start, you can make each and every series matter by having a little bit of something-something in the game with MyBookie.ag. Regardless of whether you're betting favorites or underdogs, player prop bets, or just looking to make some cash, MyBookie gives you tons of options to make all your favorite matches a hell of a lot more exciting. And if you're looking to bet for the first time but don't know what to bet on, we're here to help point you in the right direction. For example, say you see an NBA series in which the team that had been favored is suddenly down 0-1. But you know they're the better team. You know they're going to come back. But suddenly, the series price is a whole lot more attractive now that they're down 0-1. Well, go to mybookie.ag, fire in on that one, and make some sweet coin if it comes home. And if it doesn't, guess what? There's more NBA playoffs to come and football after that. Go to mybookie.ag, sign up now, and use promo code ZABE to get your first deposit matched halfway up to $1,000. Let them know we sent you. Use our promo code ZABE to get that free deposit bonus and start your day off with a win. Bet anything, anytime, anywhere with MyBookie. Today on the ZABEcast, if ESPN had any shred of credibility left, well, it's obliterated now. A week of astonishingly embarrassing and offensive incidents. A triple shot of guests, starting with Ron Thomas, then Rob McDonald and Paul Hanson, two guys you don't know, but you'll want to hear their stories about golf and the apparel business. All that plus secret tapes, bad calls, and a whole lot more. Your bonus 45 minutes of me is locked and loaded, so buckle up, Ben. Let's go.
This is huge, Jim.
Friday, June 25, 2021. Thank you for downloading, and wow, what a two-week run I've had here in the good land, as they say, Milwaukee, Wisconsin. Yes, that is the Native American term for Milwaukee, the meaning of Milwaukee, the good land, or the cream city, as they call it. And I've been all around, not just in Milwaukee, but the suburbs and the exurbs and all the way up to Appleton. And I have met so many great people. It's been a great run here with my station, 97.3 The Game, and Josh and Gitter and everyone. It's been a blast. I'm going to be back here in a month for the Bloody Horns Golf Tournament, which, by the way, there's only a few twosome spots left. So if you are on the fence, if you've got a partner almost committed, don't dawdle. Go to bloodyhorns.com. Sign up today for the funnest, hardest day of golf in Wisconsin, a two-man scramble at the Bull at Pinehurst Farms. 2 days prior to that will be our Caddy Day 2, our charity tribute tournament to Caddyshack. And it dawned on me today that, you know, we got to cast somebody as Spalding. We need somebody to walk around going, I'll have a hamburger. No, a cheeseburger. You'll get nothing and like it. But it's been a great week here. Two weeks here. See, I've already lost my mind. 8 rounds of golf by my count. Half of them scrambles, charity events. Half of them personal events. 4 knuckle-biting Bucks games, including the loss the other night. More on that in a second.
a trip to American Family Insurance Field for a Brewer game, and more than a few offbeat podcasts, which have been, as I predicted they would be, recipients of mixed reviews. But that's fine. You got to try something different every now and then. We will be back in our usual groove today and once again on Monday. So, without further ado, my man, Ron Thomas.
Hello, Steven.
Contrary to published reports, the LA Clippers are not dead yet, leading right now by 8 in the waning minutes of the fourth quarter as we are coming to you plausibly live on a Thursday night. Ronnie, how are you, buddy?
I'm great, bud. You know how they're hanging is because they're playing defense.
Funny how Beverly, that is, right?
Yeah, that's defense. Right. Defense Beverly's always, a beast.
he really is. He got a hard head, too. Just ask Devin Booker about that. The masked man. More on the NBA playoffs coming up in just a second. But before we get into everything, Ron, tell people where you were tonight.
Tonight, Steve, I was at Columbia Country Club, which is a legendary country club outside of Washington, D.C. in Chevy Chase, Maryland. It was founded in 1898. It hosted the 1921 U.S. Open, and to commemorate the 100th year anniversary, they're hosting the U.S. Girls Junior Championship, the USGA Girls Junior this year. So as a kickoff event, they honored one of their legend who happens to be a member there. His name is Martin West III, otherwise known as Marty West, and Marty's one of the most accomplished amateurs in the history of the game worldwide. And some people were there from, well, not just some people, but the managing senior director of the USGA was there with the US Open trophy. And the historian from the USGA was there, who a guy who also runs a museum. I'm throwing a lot at you, but quickly, I'll just give you some very quick stats. He's played in 38 USGA championships, including 19 US amateurs. 10 U.S. senior amateurs, just one U.S. Open, 2 U.S. senior opens, also played on 2 Walker Cup teams, both of which won. And most impressively, he played in 4 Masters, and he made the cut in 73, played a practice round with Gene Sarazen.
How did he play in 4 Masters as an amateur?
That's a great question. Back in the day when you made it to the quarterfinals of the U.S. amateur, you were invited to the Masters. Keep in mind that it was keep in mind that Bobby Jones, the all-time amateur and lifelong amateur, was big on that. So it was not rare for them to have 10 to 12 amateurs in the event. But he played a practice round with Gene Sarazen, which is pretty incredible.
Unbelievable.
Yeah. 9 men's Maryland State Amateur Championships, 3 Maryland Opens, 10 PGA events, including 6 at the Kemper. He was probably playing when you were working the hat tent.
Exactly.
But he also played at Carolina. He won the ACC championship. So having said all of this,
what did Marty West do for a living?
He did.
Good question.
It's amazing. I'll slow down now. Marty is a man of great faith, and he's also it's family first, family, God, competition, as he said tonight. And he, instead of playing professional golf, which he could have very easily, he didn't want to be away from his family. So he started a business, and he got into basically stock brokering. Then he was a financial planner still at this time. And he's been very successful. He's also developed real estate. He's just one of those guys. He's a winner, Steve, across the board.
Yeah, that's amazing.
And he happens to be the most humble, neatest guy that you could ever meet. And as I told him tonight, as I got my picture taken with him, and I was there because I'm on the board for the Washington Metropolitan Golf Association, is on the board of directors. So we had a table, and so I had my official uniform, my jacket and all that stuff.
Coat.
And so that's actually what he said to me. He looked at me and he said, Ron, that's the most important thing you can do is doing what you're doing, giving back to the game. But he's just an unbelievable human being across the board.
If I may, for perspective, for those that are casual golf fans listening, this is the nature of the sport itself, is that early on, professionals were looked down upon back in the 20s as sort of hustlers, as ill reputes. And it was the true amateurs, like Bobby Jones, that were the stars of the sport. And in today's game, you get good players like Marty West who play in college, could maybe pursue a pro career. Sometimes they do and they wash out. Other times they choose not to. But they still want to compete. And so there's this whole separate, I don't want to say underworld, it makes it sound bad, but there's a separate universe of high-level amateurs who play in these events, and you mentioned all the events that he was in, and it's a remarkable kind of thing, because this is not for money. This is a side job. It's not a job. It's a side thing for guys who have a job and a family and a mortgage and everything else.
Yep. And it's in the true spirit of amateurism. And when you compare it to what's going on today with the NCAA, you know, it really struck a chord, because they presented him with a kind of a plaque picture. And it was a quote from, I believe his name was Charles Tufts, you know, Tufts College,
yeah,
the guy who also founded Pinehurst.
Right.
And he was a former president of USGA, and it was all about amateurism. And if you get a chance, you may want to look that up.
But okay.
This man is the essence of competition, fairness, being a gentleman, sportsmanship, all these things, and then still going home to his family and not being out on the road for all these times. But maybe one of the most impressive statistics of his, and then I'll let you take over, is he has won the Columbia Country Club. Again, an amazing history there of players and competitions, but 16-time men's club champion, okay? His first was 19.
Times.
Listen, his first was 1970. His last one was 2015.
Oh, my God. That's incredible. What a span.
45 years.
What a span.
And to give you perspective, this particular club, Columbia Country Club, has won the Maryland State team matches, okay? The best players at all the clubs play against one another. They've won it 12 times. That's how many good players are at this club, and he's won it 16 times. So
that's good stuff.
It was a special night.
I had real quick a chance to play a course here in Wisconsin that I didn't know much about until I got there. It's called Lac La Belle. And Lac La Belle is in Oconomowoc, Wisconsin. The five O's, as they call it, Oconomowoc. And I was told that it had just been redone recently. You know, they had some renovations. I was like, okay. Turns out the club is over 100 years old, 1896, 130 years old almost.
Mm-hmm.
And their first two pros at Lac La Belle each won the U.S. Open back in the day. One was a guy by the name of Alex Smith. They've got a memorial trophy for him. I believe the other guy was one of the Simpson brothers, who were noted clubmakers from Carnoustie, Scotland, where you and I have been. And so the two clubs share this kinship. Almost, they're like sister clubs. And there's a whole thing. And once upon a time, the pros at the time boycotted the Western Open because of an entry fee requirement. And so they then went up to Oconomowoc and Lac La Belle to play their own tournament. Made the Chicago Tribune. There's a big newspaper story about it. I know all this because at the club, they have all these artifacts and all this history on the walls. And the men who founded Lac La Belle included such titans of the early 20th century as Montgomery Ward. You know, the guy who founded the department stores.
Sure.
And they got pictures of these guys, and it's a real monocle crew, to say the very least. But this was their hunt and relaxation club all the way up in Wisconsin. Well, here's
and
the
you,
other. Yeah, go ahead.
I was going to say, you played with some, what appeared to be some really neat guys.
You saw this on Twitter, and I'll explain this in a second. But the golf course itself, Ron, was designed by the bulldozer guy for Corin Crenshaw. Corin Crenshaw, every designer, as you know, has like a number one dirt mover, a guy who can sit out there for hours and hours and hours on heavy yellow equipment and really move the dirt the way the designer wants to. And those guys eventually will get jobs designing courses themselves because they know how to do it. They're the ones out there doing the work, right?
Sure.
So they got the dozer guy from Corin Crenshaw who helped design Sand Valley to the north of here, way north in Wisconsin. And this guy created a course on top of the old bones of just a traditional 1896 private country club. He designed a course that is phenomenal. It's like this bastard child between Whistling Straits and Black Wolf Run. And it's incredible. It's very challenging. Not too long, but very challenging and beautiful. And it was just spectacular. But I got to play with great guys, including four ex-hockey players, one of whom is the goaltender coach for the women's team at the University of Wisconsin-Madison. Mark Greenhall. Greeny, as they called him, right?
Right.
And I decided I was going to just, you know, for fun, after Greeny putted out every time, I'd throw a goalie name out at him and just see what he said, you know. And I was just throwing out names, Ron Hextall, Billy Smith, Don Beaupré. I was picking some random ones, Don Beaupré, you know, sure. guys. And he would giggle after each one and whatever. And I finally said at the end, I go, which goalie did I leave out of the 18 that I mentioned? And they all took a guess. One of them said Pat Richter, who was a great Wisconsin Badger, great NHL player. I said, no, that's not the guy I'm thinking of. And I finally said, Jim Craig, you know, the Olympic goalie in 1980. Sure, yeah. And they're like, oh, yeah, I forgot that. You should have mentioned that. It was just a fun bonding moment. We talked about sports, the university, competition, women, ice hockey, golf, just everything. And golf is the best game ever, Ron. It brings you in contact with such high-frequency people.
Steve, the people that I was with, and I'll jump back to your Wisconsin talk, but the people that I was around tonight, I had Ben Brundred to my right, Ben Brundred III, former president of Congressional Country Club. And again, I'm referencing these names because these are the people that were there. And so then next behind me was Steve Ford. And my lifelong ambition when it comes to sport and golf is to play in a USGA championship. Unfortunately, COVID allowed that not to happen last time. But everybody around me at our table, I think there was like 42 USGA championships. And I just was sitting there thinking to myself that somehow through osmosis or through inspiration, this is going to really be, for me personally, and a special night, because I'm going to take this with me and make me want to work harder. But then at the same time, you had, you know, John Bodenhammer from the USGA, and you had the historian, as I was saying, who ran the museum. So you were everywhere you turn. And then the US Open trophy was there. And then there were titans of business too, who can't break 100. So you're surrounded by all these people. And the thing that we all had in common was our relationship with Marty, and that is golf, and that is golf relationship. Now, I want to say about your Wisconsin thing, something that people don't realize around the country, you have people who listen all around the country, unless you're in touch, really in touch and aware, is just how sports crazy the state of Wisconsin is.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah, it permeates down to the youth and high school levels as much as anything else. It's just a fabric of life up here, and it's wonderful. It's also, you know, from a high-level pro sports perspective, they would be probably termed soft fans compared to the East Coast savages that take sports way too fucking seriously, like in New York, Boston, or Philly. I mean, you know, they're a bit more die-easy, many of them, you know, but they love sports at all levels. And, you know, back to the game of golf, like, so, you know, some of the guys I met on this trip, I met a guy, JD, played with him at a very humble Muni on Father's Day. He was a friend of a friend, right? You wouldn't think twice about this guy. You know, a somewhat older fella, ample girth, as we all are getting now in our older age. Average game, smoked cigars, good dude, decent golfer, not great though. My buddy Mikey said, you know, JD, he goes, he just turned down an offer for his rock quarries that he owns here in Wisconsin. I go, oh, really? Why are you laughing? Yeah.
Because I know where this is going.
Do you know the number?
No, I don't. But it just...
You don't know the number.
Before you say this, I'm just going to say that that's another thing. These flyover states that everybody on the East Coast and West Coast think, there's an enormous amount of business acumen and wealth.
Yeah. So he said, yeah, he just turned out an offer for his quarries. He owns like five or six of them up here. And I go, oh, really? I said, what was the offer? And my buddy Mike goes, $500 million.
Sure.
I said, yep. Are you fucking kidding me? He goes, no. He said, he believes strongly that they're worth more and that, mm-hmm. you know, this is a time to stay in the game in that regard. Yeah. But so you wouldn't notice him. There's another guy that I met at one of the charity outings. And my guy, who you're going to hear from in a bit here on the podcast, Tim Gerds, mm-hmm. he says, see that guy there? He's a ex-Marine sniper, created his own personal protection company, repped and protected athletes and business people, just sold it for $7 million.
Mm-hmm.
And you yep. wouldn't know it at all.
Nope. And that is the beauty of the upper Midwest, or the Midwest in general, but there's just something so unique about folks from Wisconsin, northern Michigan, even northern Illinois. It's just, it's like you said, when it comes to sports, not taking things too seriously, not taking life too serious, except for when it comes to one, enjoying it, two, family, work. I mean, these are hardworking people. There aren't a lot of people up there that are in the situation, are allowing themselves to be in the situation of not working. I mean, it's part of that, like you said, fabric. It's part of the fabric. Yeah. You work, you enjoy, you know, you have fun on the weekends, but I just, there's something about Wisconsin. The folks that you've had on the show, the guys at Aaron Hills, and for anybody who didn't listen to that podcast, yeah. I mean, I was at a table next to the guys. This is a table tonight. The head pro, Ricky Tuma from Burning Tree. The head pro, Jim Fitzgerald from Chevy Chase Club. And then the head pro, Bob Dolan from Columbia. And then the guys from Pine Valley. So Whoa. These guys are all so at one table. Okay.
Yeah.
So but now if you put them on your podcast, I'm not saying they couldn't be, you know, they couldn't be freelance the way that, but the guys up at Aaron Hills, it was classic.
Weren't they funny? That's because, you know, the head pro knew the emeritus pro so well from working together that they were used to giving each other shit, which is really, as I was once told, is how men express their love for another in a way that is safe for us, as we give each other shit. So that was kind of funny. And John Haynes is a great guy. These are all guys I want you to meet. I want to drag you up here so we can have a good week and play some places, because you'd love to meet these people. But one last thing. I'll tell you the most enjoyable golf experience I had up here, and I played 8 rounds various places. But it was Saturday morning in a scramble at a very, some would say, average municipal course called New Berlin Hills. The course was lovely, Ron. I mean, it was just a lovely, perfect muni with interesting enough holes, nice, gentle rough. You could find your ball, not too many severe hazards. Delightful. And we played a scramble, and what was great is I got my young producer, Josh Albrecht, to play golf. And he's athletic enough to play, but he, of course, doesn't play enough, so there's a lot of weird shots in there. But I just wanted him out there because, as he said after, he's like, this was really fun. I'm like, of course it was fun. You got to drink. We talked freely. We made some inappropriate jokes without worrying about pissing anybody off or getting fired. It was warm. It was fun. It was great. And so he's like, I got to do this more. And I'm like, you do. I want you to do it more. And if he does it more, then it'll put him in the orbit of other people that are of high caliber and high frequency that will, you know, be friends in life and help him out in his career.
Yeah. Well, I just hope that people that are listening right now, and I know there are people that are listening that haven't dipped, as you like to say, their toes in the water yet, the golf pool, if you will, because they think, you know, it's too late. I'm not going to be good.
It's never too late.
No, it isn't. And the reason that we talk, they admire you and they listen to you and they hear you talk about golf. And the reason we talk about it and you talk about it so much is because it's that good, Steve. It's that good. I am consumed. I've been playing golf since I was 10 years old, 41 years. I am absolutely consumed with the game at this very moment in my life. I can't think about hardly anything else other than practicing my tournaments, getting better, but also just playing with the guys on Saturday morning who will shoot 104. Right. I don't give a shit.
I know.
I just enjoy their company. It's the best.
Yeah. Who cares if you're bad? It's so funny the way the charity tournament we played in, it was hosted by this guy who owns a bar called Natty Oaks. John is his name, and he plays Santa Claus during Christmas time.
Only in Wisconsin.
He grows a real beard, all right? Mm-hmm. And he is a fucking dead ringer, A-level Santa Claus, right?
Sure.
So Josh, who knows him well, said that when John heard that me and Gitter were going to be playing with him, he said, oh, no, those guys are too good, and he went and got his own mm-hmm. foursome. Mm-hmm. When I saw John at the tournament, I walked right up to him with a smile on. I said, listen here, you asshole, don't ever do that again. I said, too good to play with? Bullshit. I said, yeah. I play with guys who can barely get an airborne. It doesn't fucking matter. I wanted to play with you so I could talk about, you know, the bar business and Santa Clausing and all this other shit. And now that's gone. And he was laughing and it's like, yeah. I know I shouldn't have done that, but it was just funny.
Well, the thing that I've always enjoyed about you, Steve, and I've known this from the first really moments that I met you many years ago, is how much interest you take in other people. Their professions, their families, what you may not remember their name all the time.
No.
But yeah, but that's okay. But you will ask, you'll remember what they did, but you're so interested by other people. And there is not a more fitting place for you to be as the person that you are than where you are right now up there, because you will not meet a more genuine my fellow Indiana Hoosiers are close, but right. You won't meet a more genuine, authentic group of people than where you are in that state around those people. The women you had on the podcast today.
Did you listen to that?
Of course. I listen to every one of your fucking shows. But
I know.
They're just so – that right out of the gate. I mean, it's vagina talking, Matt Ragan. It's just like these women, they just don't care.
By the way, yeah. I mean, these are these are accomplished, smart women. Oh, like, I mean, Colleen course. Is my – boss, like she runs the whole iHeartMedia cluster, and yeah. Gina Della is like the number one manager of Pella Windows and Doors probably in the country, and just has an incredible personality, funny as shit, and it was just fun to get him in the van. When I said, we were out drinking one time a while back, and we were just talking about whatever. And they were being, you know, typical saucy ladies that they are. And they said, this should be a podcast. And I go, well, next time I'm in town, we'll do one. They're like, yeah, let's do it. And so I said, you want to do it? And they're like, oh, yeah. Like, they cleared their schedules to do this thing.
So good.
It's so funny.
It's so authentic. And the great thing, the cheerleading talk, other women, some women may be like, you know, why are we talking about cheerleaders? You know, that's so trite or it's so stereotypical, but you know, the way you were able to talk about it and have it lead into other things, the story about the woman, and I won't recount everything, but how she didn't even go to Wisconsin to be a cheerleader.
Yeah, it's no, Colleen, my boss, she said, and I didn't know this, she said she didn't go there to be a cheerleader, but wanted to do it because she just wanted to be around sports. She loves sports so much. See, this is what I'm talking about, the sports culture being part of the fabric. And I'm not meaning to bash anyone on the East Coast or in Virginia or Maryland or whatever. It's, you know, there's still many passionate people. But up here, it's just hits a little bit different. And, you know, she played softball, but couldn't make the team, and she told the story about it. And then she's like, well, what can I do? So she did cheerleading. And the fact that she was getting candy from Crazy Legs Hirsch in the athletic department, I'm like, get the fuck out of here.
I know. It's just...
That's good stuff.
The older you get, the less bullshit, your bullshit radar goes off a lot easier. Yeah. And, when you're around people like that, there's really no bullshit and you know it. And so you can talk to them. You don't have to walk on eggshells. And, tonight I had to walk on eggshells a little bit and tell them they were drinking some wine and there was, some fun going because it ran a little late. But, hey, here, one more statistic about Columbia Country Club, then I will stop. They've had three golf professionals there since 1898.
Three?
123 years.
What do their golf pros do? Die on the job behind the counter or on the
lesson team? One of them was Strasbaugh, Bill Strasbaugh.
Yes.
And then Dolan took over for him. But before that was Fred McLeod, who won the 1908 U.S. Open.
That's pretty good stuff right there.
And he became the honorary starter. He was the first honorary starter at the Masters. And Marty used to travel to Augusta with them. When he played the Masters, he'd go down there. And Fred was the first starter. And then I got to hear Henry Delosier, another guy who played in two Masters, and Ben Brundred talking about playing with Sam Snead. They played 36 holes each time they went down to the homestead down in southwestern Virginia to play with Sam Snead. I mean, that's
crazy.
It's just so good. It's just good
stuff.
It is
good. Basketball. Let's get into the NBA playoffs here. Just the Clippers polished off the Suns. The finish the other night in this series was bonkers amazing and at the same time infuriating on multiple levels because of fucking replay.
Yep.
I can't stand when people say, I know replay's tough, it interrupts the flow, but it's so important to get it right. And they will say, and they got it right on that out-of-bounds play with Beverly and Devin Booker, and I want to fucking slap them upside the head and say, they did not get that call right. That call was not right in any sense of the game with any perspective of history. That's bullshit. Oh, it touched his fingertips. For 100-plus years, that is not the right call on that play. And it stopped the game. It potentially overturned the outcome, although ball don't lie. Am I right?
Yeah, right.
Paul George missed two free throws. And then further replay after the incredible Ayton dunk from the out-of-bounds play. Or no, before that, another out-of-bounds review allowed the Suns a timeout they did not have to draw up the winning play. Replay fucked that game up multiple different ways.
Which was a wonderful game until that. And
of course.
The thing is, the game was perfectly fine for years without it.
I know!
NBA playoff basketball. What the fuck could you ever want to change about it?
Yeah.
And the great thing great to me at least, is we've got these goofy bastards out of the, we don't have to worry about the superstars. We don't have Durant and that team to have to watch.
The superstars are gone. The stars are still there. Although I guess Giannis is considered a superstar, two-time MVP.
He is, but he's on a whole different level. He plays in Milwaukee. He signed another contract. He's going to stay there. He doesn't make any noise. He's just, and by noise, I mean he just plays the game hard. Now, Milwaukee, they have a problem, and the problem isn't so much them. The problem is Trae Young and that team, because that team is playing with so much confidence. And that's a dangerous team because they know they have nothing to lose. They're playing as a team, and they have a point guard right now who has the triple threat. One, he can handle. Two, he can pass. And obviously, he can shoot the ball.
Crazy. Coming out of Oklahoma, I was a little bit meh on Trae Young because my casual thought was, oh, he thinks he's Steph Curry. That's cute.
Mm-hmm.
But he has obviously put in the work and developed his game where he is that triple threat, and he was the most exciting thing on the court the other night. And if it weren't for him, missing 7 30-footers that were probably ill-advised, but then again, that's his game, they might have won more easily. I thought the alley-oop off the glass to John Collins was just the fucking rudest, most awesome thing I'd seen in a long time. I'm like, I watched it with my jaw agape, and I said, rooting for the Bucks. I was like, you know what? I can't be mad about that. That was fucking sick.
He plays with no regard for a negative outcome that could possibly come. He just plays the game.
But
he makes foul shots, Steve.
He does. That's a key thing, which of course Giannis is having trouble with. And I saw today the NBA said in their L2M report that they should have called a violation, 10-second violation on Giannis a couple times the other night, which is a bad harbinger for the series to come, because now
you can't call that.
Get your stopwatches out for tonight. I think that could be an issue. But anyhow, the game, which is great. You know, Josh roots so hard for Milwaukee teams and feels like our teams never win anything. We get close and heartbreak is us. And I said, you're right to a certain extent, but you know, everyone has their struggles. He was so pissed watching game one because he felt like there's too many fans taking the Hawks lightly, right? Mm-hmm. And so he, with like 4 minutes to go, the Hawks get up like 4 points after some putback of an offensive rebound, and he just goes, okay, you want to go? It's time to go. He looks at me with dead eyes like he was so pissed. He's like, let's leave the bar and stop watching. And I just laughed. I was like, come on, man, don't be that way. Sure enough, 2 minutes later, the Bucks make a surge, and all of a sudden they're up 7.
Well, 112-106 or something.
Yeah, it was 6 or 7. I think it was 7. I was looking at the score going, shit, they might even cover this game now when they've been pretty much trailing or treading water most of the game.
And then the next play, Trae Young makes a crazy floater getting fouled, which is a bullshit call. These and ones, I told you, are a joke. Then Collins, I think that alley-oop or something, and then the killer, the dagger, was the offensive rebound put back. It always comes back and bites you in the ass.
But anyway, then they end up losing a 4-point lead in the final minute and a half, and they lose the game. Okay. I was not happy about it, rooting for the Bucks, but I was not, like, devastated, and I'm not necessarily yet that worried. We'll see about tonight's game. If they lose tonight, then there's big problems.
They're not going to lose this series.
Okay. Oh, really?
No chance. Okay. No chance.
Okay.
No chance.
So,
no.
So the next morning on the air, I said, Josh, I love you, but I think I can't watch games with you anymore. He's like, he goes, what do you mean? I said, because it's okay to get pissed, but you wanted to leave with 4 minutes to go. And then at one point, you were rubbing your temples and closing your eyes with your back with your back to the TV as Giannis had one of his 5 alley-oop dunks. Yeah. And I go, oh, what a dunk! And you weren't even watching. I said, you're a one-way fan in which if it goes bad, you catastrophize it, and you're missing the moments. I said, to use Giannis's own words, you're not built for this. And then I walked him through a couple of things that happened on the road to the Capitals Stanley Cup Championship and the Nationals World Series Championship. And I said, Josh, Capitals 2017 or 2018, whatever year it was, they open up at home against Columbus and lose the first two games home in overtime. You were probably at one of those games.
I said,
do you know what that's like, knowing your team? And this hockey team of ours has shit the bed every spring for pretty much my entire lifetime. And here they are with a good team, ready to make a run. They lose the first two games at home.
And you think, oh, shit, here we go. That's
right,
it.
Exactly.
Typical shit.
Right. They fought. And I said, they came back, they won game three in overtime. So, you know, that's nerve-wracking right there. And they end up coming back to win the series. I mentioned the fact they were down 3-1 to a Lightning team that was a lot better than they were. And they shut out the Lightning in games 6 and 7 on the road. Yes. And I said, imagine if you're a Lightning fan, you're up 3-1, and then you get shut out in back-to-back games at home. Imagine how pissed you'd be then.
Well,
I then mentioned to him how the Nationals end up in the World Series. And they fall down, or they win two games on the road. They come back home, and lose.
No game was won at home.
Right. I said
first World Series in history.
Right. I said they win the first two on the road in Houston, then come home and proceed to lose the next three,
yes,
scoring one run, and yep, one run. I said, Josh, how would you act if that's the case? I said, if you're going to be a fan of a team that's in a seven-game series sport, basketball, baseball, hockey, you've got to be built different. You can't catastrophize a single fucking loss. You got to hang in there, buddy.
Yeah, well, you got to evaluate as a fan, evaluate what we need to do to see if your basketball knowledge translates at all. Because I can tell you, well, here's my basketball knowledge. I'm going to share with you. The reason that the Brooklyn Nets had no business losing to Milwaukee, I'm just going to say it, even without Kyrie, okay, because Joe Harris is the best shooter on the fucking planet, okay? But when they got down towards the end of those games, it's ludicrous that you give the ball to Durant every single time. Sure, he can score, but he can't pass. He can't penetrate and pass. Joe Harris, all season long, the reason they won so many games is because of the other guys on the team. So the Nets fell away from that.
That said, right, Joe Harris had a horrible series.
He had a horrible series because he didn't know when he was going to get the ball. There were no sets for him. There was nothing. You go to Durant, and Harden is terrible. I don't care what, and you've heard me say this about LeBron.
He
was awful, but let's move forward. So what you have to do, what Trae Young is doing now, is exactly what it takes to win a basketball game. And that's the same thing Booker was doing at Phoenix.
Yeah.
And that's getting in the lane for floaters. And if it's not there, or if the outside shot isn't there, get in the lane and kick. Okay. So what the Clippers did tonight, I was listening to it on the radio on my way home from this event tonight, and I could tell, is the suffocating defense. Doris Burke, who's so good.
Yep.
She was talking about the suffocating defense. So what I'm trying to say is Milwaukee has to defend.
Yeah.
They have to defend. They have to be physical. The referees are letting them play. It was amazing that first game, how few whistles there were. And that should favor Milwaukee.
The basketball is great, and it's great because the stars in the big markets, although LA is a big market, obviously are out. It's just pure basketball. There's exciting, young, dynamic players. The one thing that the NBA has got to get their arms around is all of this falling down at the slightest contact, and you touch somebody's face and you jerk your head back.
Yeah.
I don't know how you police that. It's a real scourge on the game. It's flopping to the next level, and it's off-putting to fans, and it's impossible to officiate. I don't know what the answer is.
Yeah. I mean, it's gotten so bad with the three-point shot that now if you're in the landing zone, they're calling fouls. I mean, that's a joke. It doesn't affect the shot. Sure, on the way down, and if you're underneath someone and they could twist their ankle or whatever, I understand, but the bullshit of them shooting the three, putting their legs out, landing in a different position from when they took off, it's all just stupid.
Yeah. Well, tonight, Paul, you didn't see it, Paul George knocked Jay Crowder out because he pump fakes Crowder off his feet and then leans in and catches him flush on the chin with an elbow on his way up for a jumper.
Yeah. Well, I understand Josh's passion. I really do, because as a Pacer fan back when we were making
I love the passion. I don't want the passion to be curtailed.
But he's got to alter his adjust his watching style.
I just want him to stay in the fight as a fan watching.
Yeah.
And then motherfuck the team or motherfuck the referees afterwards until you go to bed at night. The best thing was we got in the car because he was driving me back to the hotel.
Mm-hmm.
Dead silence.
Oh, shit. He's all bent out of shape.
I said we were like a married couple that doesn't talk anymore, that had just fought over something. It was like a very intense thing. So I love the fact he's into it, but I just want him to not quit on games watching-wise.
Yeah.
So anyway, right, there's brother. That.
With baseball in full swing and the NBA playoffs off to a hot start, you can make each and every series matter by having a little bit of something-something in the game with MyBookie.ag. Regardless of whether you're betting favorites or underdogs, player prop bets, or just looking to make some cash, MyBookie gives you tons of options to make all your favorite matches a hell of a lot more exciting. And if you're looking to bet for the first time but don't know what to bet on, we're here to help point you in the right direction. For example, say you see an NBA series in which the team that had been favored is suddenly down 0-1. But you know they're the better team. You know they're going to come back. But suddenly, the series price is a whole lot more attractive now that they're down 0-1. Well, go to mybookie.ag, fire in on that one, and make some sweet coin if it comes home. And if it doesn't, guess what? There's more NBA playoffs to come and football after that. Go to mybookie.ag, sign up now, and use promo code ZABE to get your first deposit matched halfway up to $1,000. Let them know we sent you. Use our promo code ZABE to get that free deposit bonus and start your day off with a win. Bet anything, anytime, anywhere with MyBookie. You know, we're driven by the search for better. When it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. And Indeed doesn't help you just hire faster. 93% of employers agree Indeed delivers the highest quality matches compared to other job sites. This according to a recent Indeed survey. Listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/Zabe. Just go to Indeed.com/Zabe right now and support the show by saying you heard about it right here on this podcast. Indeed.com/Zabe. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed.
All right, so there's a bunch of other shit I was going to talk about. It's all
just
negative.
Just throw something
though.
At me quick.
All negative. We've had such a positive vibe to the show. I said in the tease, and I'll just pay it off here, ESPN has had the worst week in the history of their channel. Three things this week that were absurd, insulting, and laughable on their face. The first was Molly Kierum and the panel mocking the four bad cities that were left in the finals and bemoaning the fact that they weren't going to have as fun of a celebrity time there when they got to visit if they were going to travel. Then Jay Williams with the tweet of a lifetime. I'm sure you saw this story, Ron.
I didn't, actually.
You didn't?
No, Steve, I don't pay attention. I keep the TV off.
Okay,
if it's not sports or golf or a war movie, I don't watch it.
Okay. Okay, that's fine. That's good. Yeah. I'm going to tell you something. You're not going to believe me when I tell you this. You ready?
All right. Yeah.
Jay Williams played at Duke. Smart guy, I think, and does a decent enough job on ESPN. Heard that the Celtics had hired their next head coach, your boy Brad Stevens, now the GM. I forget the guy's name. He's of African descent, and he's black. I'm going to look it up for you right now. And Jay Williams tweeted, congratulations on the first coach of color for the Boston Celtics.
Oh, yeah. So Casey Jones didn't count.
They've had five.
Yeah. Fucking believable.
It gets better.
Okay.
So after this tweet goes out, and he missed five guys, including Doc Rivers, who was there 5 seconds ago.
Oh, yes.
In the big scheme of things.
Yeah.
He then tweets out, that tweet I sent about the Celtics franchise, I did not send, and my passcode has been changed.
Oh, okay.
He claims, well, not explicitly, but he implied essentially he was hacked. Which is the most laughable thing ever to think.
Yeah.
That, oh yeah, a hacker hacked your account just to say one thing, which was factually wrong.
Yes.
And then today, Jalen Rose said that the inclusion of Kevin Love on the Olympic team is a token inclusion.
Unbelievable.
And it's because he thinks the U.S. is afraid to send an all-black team.
Oh, why? What? I mean, is this just a
license? You're like, is this real life?
Say whatever you want to say and not have no repercussions and reveal how stupid you are? I mean, what is, why?
They literally,
why even say that?
They literally sent an all-black team in 2000, 2004, 2008, 2016.
Oh, my gosh.
So those are the things. I mean, many people have already said the ship has sailed on ESPN's credibility. Whatever was left of it got obliterated this week.
I can't watch it. I don't watch it. I can't even watch whatever.
Why would you? Why would you? Here, there's two watchable things on ESPN. One, live sporting events. Two, Van Pelt Center. That's it. That's, well, and College Game Day. But that's it. There's three things. That's it.
I just wonder who's watching, because you remember, Steve, being in a hotel room on the road, waking up in the morning, first thing you did, SportsCenter.
Oh, yeah.
Stu Jackson, Kenny Mayne, even though they may have done the evening one, but they would replay it. But it was must watch. It was must watch. And now it's...
And you felt good about it. You felt happy about it. Now I just know that there's so much agenda infused in everything that unless it's Van Pelt who plays it by the sports book, it's just garbage. Anyway, any other last thoughts? The NCAA thing is a can of worms that is going to take a much longer time to unravel.
Yeah.
But that's a huge story this week.
Yeah, it is. I'm just going to say it. I don't pay attention, Steve, to the bullshit anymore. I can't do it. I'll come back to golf. I spend a lot of time on the golf course. I think it's innate in me where I do it because I love the game, but it's also because it's a refuge for me.
No, it's good.
It's good. Where I am and where I don't have to deal with the fucking stupidity that I'm surrounded by every day.
All right.
And you remember, go ahead.
Real quick, next week when we get the original Capital Golf Gang together, you can unload some thoughts on the U.S. Open and all that's happened since. But I'll leave you with this. Did you know they tested the tuna in a Subway sandwich?
Yeah, I heard. And not one bit of it. Nothing.
They couldn't identify what it was.
No DNA.
No DNA. Not only no DNA of tuna, I don't think it was even fish DNA. It might have been fucking raccoon in there.
And of course, you got, what's her name, Rapino or whatever, doing the commercials. What's her name? Megan
Rapino. Yeah.
Yeah, about eat fresh. Eat fresh. I mean, she's so...
They're all... Everyone's a whore for the corporate dollar, and no one's any different. They say, "How much do you want me to advertise?"
Exactly. All right,
Ronnie, you're the best, buddy. I'll talk to you later.
You're the best.
Thank you.
Bye.
Good visit right there. All right, let me pivot to a conversation I had in the van with a couple of guys who are doing some really neat things. A guy who was living on a golf course that was going under. And he looked out his window and said, "Holy shit, if somebody doesn't step up to save this golf course, the value of my home is going to go straight down." Another guy you're going to hear who said, "You know, I want a golf shirt that looks good, feels good, wears great, and doesn't stink after you've played a round of golf in it." Sounds like a fantasy, right? Well, he found one and built the company. Oh, my God. Most people I've had in this van yet.
It's a party now. Funny. Welcome. It's a fairways thing. That's what happens here.
Things just basically happen, right?
Here. This is what happens here.
I love it. Yeah. You know, I am right now in the van with two of my idols, a guy who has invented the greatest golf shirt in the world, and Paul Hansen of Iron Jock, and a man who bought a golf course because he was pissed off at how shitty it was being run. Right, Rob?
That is true. That is true. Yeah, the golf industry as a whole.
All right. Rob McDonald of Fairways of Woodside.
Yes, sir.
is right here, and Paul Hansen from Iron Jock, and Tim Gerds from Wealth Freedom Advisors, one of our sponsors on 97.3 The Game. Gerds, he played golf with me today. He admitted he wasn't at his best. And Ellen is here. Ellen is soon to be Paul's top advisor, salesperson, whatever. But that's okay. Golf is fickle. And what you learned, Rob, is that your character is already being done by a guy on TikTok by the name of Manolo Teaches Golf.
It is too bad. I will find new run.
No. Keep going with what you're going.
I will find something different, I guess.
Where did your character come from when you're out there golfing?
I don't know. I just think I was yelling at my kids too much, and I was trying different things to get them to do stuff. When you have four kids, you're just looking to find them to do something. And so I just started calling them Jojo. Hello, Jojo. Get through. Let's do this.
How old are your kids?
I have 4 and 6 year old daughters and 11 and 13-year-old boys.
Wow, 4 and 6. So you're right in the weeds. In the middle of the war there. You're mired
in
Vietnam
bed.
Of kid raising right now. It's going to be a battle for you. Paul, your kids are grown and successful and living in California doing great things, and you're just enjoying the good life making shirts.
Yes, I am. So my kids are doing great.
How many kids do you have?
I've got four.
Four?
Yep.
Excellent. All of them gone?
All of them gone.
All off the payroll?
All off. Well, I wouldn't say they're off the payroll.
I wouldn't say that.
Does that ever happen?
I don't know.
No, I usually get a phone call every now and then, you know.
So. All right, I'm going to start with you, Paul. Iron Jock is a new athletic wear, would we call it, company?
Right. Yep.
Based here in Wisconsin.
Exactly. Right?
And its main catch is that it never stinks.
It won't stink.
It can't stink. Can't stink, won't stink. Try to put the stink
fabric,
in it. You can't.
The fabric will wear out before it does. Before it would ever stink.
Right. It uses silver ion technology.
Correct.
In the fabric.
Exactly.
To repel odor.
It actually, when you sweat, it creates bacteria and fungus. This product, it activates the silver ions that are infused in the fabric.
Yeah.
And it kills and eliminates the bacteria at a 99.99% rate for the lifetime of the gear.
I don't know. Only 99.9?
Yeah, I would
say 100.
Couldn't
get it to 100,
huh? The lawyers won't let me say 100, so I say 99.
The lawyers won't let me say. So my first question was, how did you figure this out?
Well, you know, I don't know. I retired, and I got bored, and my wife was sick of me going to the grocery store with her, and I trademarked Iron Jock. I thought it was a name I could work with.
Let me back up. You retired from Miller,
right?
Correct?
From Miller.
What was your job at Miller?
I was a regional vice president.
Okay.
Here
in Milwaukee.
And I'd been there, and I just thought I got a name that I could work with that people would remember. It's a strong name. It's a masculine name. And then I wanted to do a proprietary fabric, and I went and did some research, and I found that Lululemon was using silver scent technology, which is nano silver, and it is the process I use, but they only put it in about 5% of their gear.
Really?
And they don't put it in any woman's gear.
Huh.
So I said, why don't I just put this in all my gear and be the first guy to market with something that, you know, people struggle with. A lot of people struggle with sweating and odor and, and you got, you know, you got moms and dads that are dealing with as teenagers that are in sports, and this fabric just makes it, your fabric, it's just a better fabric.
I want to back up a bit. So you're a retired beer man,
right?
For lack of a better phrase, and you thought up a brand name first without even having your product in hand.
I know.
That's incredible.
Did it half-assed backwards.
But it worked out great. And I was telling you, I really like the logo. It's simple. It's bold. Yeah. It's a nice crest. It has your I and the J for Iron Jock, and you then carry that through the name of the brand itself in like a proprietary font. And then you went about trying to find this special shirt. Where do you go finding a shirt that's got silver in it?
Well, you can't. I mean, some people use it.
Who did you go to?
Oh, I went to a guy, Bob Parker, who actually worked for Penn State. Penn State created nano silver for the military for Desert Storm because of the heat conditions our guys were in.
So that's you were aware of nano silver?
I was.
And then you're like, I got to go find somebody that can put it into the fabric of my shirts.
And I started researching, and a friend of mine, Kevin Sharnick, actually knows Bob, so they connected me. So there was some serendipity and luck in that, right? And we've been working on this for over 2 years. COVID shut us down. We've stopped our launch.
Sure.
First batch, almost $500,000 of gear they made. They didn't do it right, the factory.
Oh.
The silver wasn't done properly, they redid it again.
Where was the factory?
It was in El Salvador, Guatemala. Okay.
Did you go down there firsthand?
Yeah, I've been down there. Okay. I'm damn lucky I tested that product, too, because I didn't. For some reason, I felt like I just better make sure this is right because I can't roll something. And
did you test it with your nose or did you have somebody else test it?
Well, we sent out some samples and a couple people said, well, my armpits are smelling a little bit. And that didn't make sense to me. And they made this baloney up. Well, was deodorant and the body and all that. And I go, no. So I had to send it to a lab in Penn State University. And they said, no, they don't have the right amount of nano in here.
Oh, my God. That's amazing.
So I caught it.
See, the funny thing is, Rob, as guys we know, you can't test your own stink because you'll smell it and go, it's fine. It's
perfect.
It's fine. Right. It's fine.
Well, I thought that was the COVID
how many
test,
times?
Wasn't it? You were supposed to smell yourself
yes.
and you have it or don't have it.
Right. How many times have we with our wives smelled a piece of clothing and declared it okay? Because to our nose, it was fine. But to a real person's nose or somebody else or a woman's
bueno.
Nose.
Yeah, not so good.
Exactly.
Yeah,
so that's incredible. Now, this these shirts, and by the way, we're wearing your fabulous golf shirts, which are kind of one of the newer products you've put out.
Right.
But you've had other product lines for a while now. Where can people get them if they don't live here in Wisconsin?
IronJOC.com.
Okay.
We have a website. We have a small warehouse up in Reedsburg, Wisconsin that we ship out of.
Nice.
And we'll get it to you as fast as you want it.
That's fantastic. Yeah. And you guys now have shorts. You got these hoodies that are unbelievable. They're a nice lightweight hoodie that you can wear indoors, and as long as it's not below 40, you can wear it out to go get the mail or to run an errand. That's key because nobody wants to take a big hoodie off and put it on. You get hot inside. I wear that Iron Jock hoodie all winter long in the house, all day.
I hear that a lot. It's a very comfortable fabric.
Yeah,
we've got four woven athletic jacket pants. We just launched our gym shorts. We've got running gear, we've got workout gear, we've got T-shirts, etc. And the other thing I tried to do with this brand is if you look at my pricing, it's fair pricing. It's not crazy Lululemon pricing or, you know, it sits on top of Nike, right? So I tried to give people a fair price but an exceptional product.
Right.
Thus, I've shipped over 2,000 orders and never gotten anything back for quality. Sizing,
nice.
Yes, but nobody writes, well, this is garbage, this I don't like this. Once we get somebody, they come into the line on socks usually, and then you can just watch them just buy the brand. So
that's fantastic.
So we re-engineered the price a little bit.
Meanwhile, Rob, your story was equally remarkable because you didn't mean to buy a golf course.
No.
Your background is in sales.
Sales and healthcare.
Sales and healthcare.
Yeah.
And you're living out here in beautiful Sussex, Wisconsin.
Absolutely.
And you're on the ninth hole of this beautiful golf course, the Fairways of Sussex.
Fairways of Woodside.
Fairways of Woodside,
in Sussex,
sorry.
Yes.
In Sussex. Yep. And the golf course is going to shit.
Yeah, I mean,
losing money.
Yeah, it wasn't doing well.
It's falling apart. Yep. And you are sitting there on the ninth hole going, well, if this golf course goes under.
I just overpaid for my house.
Yes, exactly.
Yes.
And so you said.
Let's fix it. Let's do it. Let's get after it.
Fix it.
We
you said, it. Let's buy it.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah. You're like, well, yeah, they wouldn't let me fix it as a hobby.
Well, they did. The way we had to do it was to start a management company because we had to get things fixed. I mean, we really, truly had to fix some things here. And so I started a management company. We hired all the people. We started managing it. And then we got it to trigger and make things happen to do the acquisition. So
okay, so you started with a management company as a sort of on-ramp to then
on-ramp
the
to come into the course. I can help you. It has a sales problem. Let's fix this and make it profitable and do the things that we need to do. And here I am.
And you did some things that were very counterintuitive, counterculture to golf.
Absolutely.
And it piss some people off.
It does, yeah.
Which means, as they would say, you're over the target. When you're taking flack, it means you're over the target, right?
Yeah.
Like one thing you told me you did, which is heretical in golf circles, was you got rid of the senior discount.
Yep. No senior discount. Of course, doesn't care how old you are.
Can you believe that?
I'm a terrible
Paul,
man.
I don't know your age, but I'm guessing you might be in that range to be eligible for one.
He didn't get a discount today.
And so your thought process was simple. Why am I giving them a discount? The golf course doesn't know how old they are.
Correct.
And they're retired. Yep. And unlike Paul, who's industrious when he's retired and going out building new companies.
Yeah, absolutely.
A lot of guys retire and they play every day. Mm-hmm. They clog up the course. Why do they get a discount? That is ring-a-ding-ding accurate thinking. If a course is struggling, you can't afford to do that.
Correct. I mean, I think that It was discounts, and there was all kinds of different discounts. I mean, you go on a golf course website, anybody's, instead of mine,
yeah,
and you look at it, and they've got, well, it costs this much from this time to this time, and then, you know, there was the early bird, and the senior, and then the senior early bird, and then the 9-hole, and the 18-hole, and there was all kinds of different discounts, and it doesn't make any sense. I don't understand, because it doesn't matter what time of the day you're playing.
Right.
The course has a cost, right? There's a cost to Bentgrass. There's a cost to mow. There's a cost for people. None of it's going down. Everybody wants to play on a great course, right? They want it to look like Augusta National every day that they get on there, right?
Yeah.
Whether it be, you know, if they're charging $14 or $68, it doesn't matter. Everybody wants it to look like the TV golf that you saw today. So in order to get there, you have to
invest. I think there is confusion with that now with golf courses. And unfortunately, there's a lot of resellers of tee times and a lot of third-party tee times, Golf Now. And the courses are dishing out X number of times to them to resell.
Yep.
And I don't know, is Groupon still around?
It is.
Okay. Yeah. Does anyone still use it?
They call every day.
Really?
Would you like to do a Groupon?
And what do you tell them?
No, thanks. We're good.
In that voice? In your little voice?
Yes. And no, thank you today. We are good.
We are good. No.
Very nice.
No. Paul's not home. Not
Rob
here.
Robbie, no here today.
Rob, yeah, Rob, have a great day. Rob is not here today. Like Consuela from the Family Guy.
Sorry.
Like, sorry, I can't answer that. What else did you do to turn the course around?
Well, I mean, I think there's a couple. We wanted to create just a great atmosphere, right? Golf is about making memories. It's about 4.5 hours of getting away from your life, maybe your wife, maybe whatever.
Yeah.
And how can we do that, right? So that's really what we said. We moved the bar outside, right? Everybody has these clubhouses, and you hope, oh, gosh, they're going to come in here and they're going to drink afterwards. Everything's going to be good.
Maybe.
Maybe. I mean, if you have 4.5-hour rounds, who can clear 4.5 hours from their wife, right?
We played in 3:45 today.
Yeah.
And I don't even think, Paul, we were conscious about our time. We were not moving fast. We could have moved faster.
Yeah.
If Tim didn't suck so bad, we... shit. He's right there.
Sorry, Tim.
Oh, sorry about that.
No, you didn't look. You were a good man in that regard. You sent a lot of soldiers to your death, like Rommel, and you didn't flinch, which is good.
Did you kill the goose on the court? No, never mind.
Yeah. So anyway, so you did a lot of things that were perhaps counterintuitive, but
no leagues. We took leagues away. There's no league. We don't have any leagues. Like
and in Wisconsin, that's huge. Did Paul? Did you play in leagues?
No, I never did. But I don't know of anybody that's done that.
We took away leagues.
And why'd you take away leagues?
Well, it was just one of those things. A lot of times they need a shotgun start at 5:30, right? But to do a shotgun, you have to clear the golf course out. So
at
now all of a sudden,
that means you can't sell tee times after one.
One probably. Or two, right? Yeah. So now what are you going to do? You got an empty golf course in the middle of the afternoon. So it didn't make much sense to me. So when you do the cost analysis of, you know, playing at night and then having those dead tee times, you start to do the math and you're like, this doesn't make much sense.
Right.
So,
and I bet they squealed at that.
Everybody squealed at that. Oh, they're still squealing.
No! They're still squealing?
Still squealing.
But okay.
We have a cash game on Tuesday nights and Monday nights. We have a cash game that people come in, play for skins, play for money. Guess what? Mondays and Tuesdays are one of our busiest nights now. I mean, when you take out league, Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday just gets crazy now.
The golf industry definitely needs new ideas because it's been wedded to a lot of old ideas that aren't relevant in this day and age.
No.
So that's a good thing right
but
there.
But there's this idea that that's guaranteed money. I mean, we don't do a lot of outings. We don't do a lot of those things. We talked about weddings. We do two or three weddings. We just concentrate on a full golf course and 5 to 6 drinks per person, and life turns out pretty good.
That's his number average.
Yeah. that's his definite. What'd you shoot today? A 6. What does that mean?
Six beers. Yes.
Yeah, that's how long, shot.
That's our pace of play number. What's your pace of play? 5 or 6? Hours? No, beers.
So, Paul, as a man of industry yourself, having been successful in just brewing, I guess, with Miller, right?
Right, right.
And now in the shirt business, what do you make of this guy here just sort of brushing off weddings? Because had that one wedding, built a special little grass area just for it, and is not really enthusiastic about it. I think it's a lucrative venue for money.
I would think so, but like he said, I'd only do it with people that want to spend $30,000, right?
Yes.
I know that the Legends does weddings almost every weekend, and I think the average wedding is $35,000, and he's booked every Saturday, but...
I guess there's some headaches to it.
About, I imagine you got to have catering. You got to have more people. You're going to make sure they're happy, right?
Oh, but you got to deal with Bridezilla. Yeah. The mother of Bridezilla.
Friends, her friends and her mother.
And, Drunky McBridesmaids.
I can get that at home. I'm good.
You can get that at home. And they fall into the lake, and then they're like, I demand this, I demand that.
I just think...
But you charge them, though, man.
We're just trying to do some exclusive things, right?
That's
I think that we have the venue. We have an amazing venue, and I think that people that are willing to do it and want it... The other problem I have is I always want to do something different. I don't like to do the same thing over and over again, right? I think that, you know, you don't want to come to... When you come to Fairways, I always say that we're trying to invent ourselves and be the new cute girl on the block, and so that every year we're doing something different, right? There's these trees down, or... Four track mans instead of two, and a new room here, or the tequila cigar bar that we're getting ready to launch. I mean, all those things, we have to have a little reinvention every year in order to be like, hey, we need to get back to fairways. We need to
see it.
Which keeps that excitement coming.
A hook. You need a
There's
hook.
There's a little bit of a hook every time, and I think that's what we need to be doing. So the wedding was like, I think the way I like the weddings is that it's a different introduction to fairways. People that haven't played golf here before went, whoa, this was cool. We should come back and play golf here.
Right. There you go. So how many places have you guys played golf in your life? I bet, Paul, you've played quite a few.
Yeah, I think I have played everywhere.
Just about everywhere?
Everywhere, yeah.
All Ireland. Over the world?
Well, Ireland. I've played Ireland.
Nice.
I've played in Germany. Sweet. Played England.
What'd you think of Ireland?
I thought it was cold and wet in August. That's what I thought. And windy and cloudy. I was so happy to
you
get
didn't
back.
Find the people charming.
Oh, the people were fantastic, but I wanted to get back to Pelican Hill, where I used to live in Newport Coast. So.
Oh, I see. I've played Pelican
Isn't
Hill.
Isn't it nice?
Oh, it's
yeah, that's
one.
That's
so
a
nice.
Pebble Beach of the South. Right?
Oh, no, it's really good. What about here stateside? Anywhere really special, really nice?
I played Pebble. I've been at the Masters before.
Okay.
I played the Masters.
Played Augusta.
I played Augusta.
You
I've been all over
bitch.
Florida.
Do you know a guy? Do you got a number for a guy?
Well,
I know you. You know a guy that got me on Augusta.
These were always, we got on because Pete Coors was the, he's a member, so we got on.
Oh, yeah, give me, I need Pete's number when we're done here. Thank you on that.
We could probably do your Iron
Jack
sales call.
Such a nice guy.
Yeah, that's right.
We'll do your Iron Jack sales call at Augusta.
There you go. Hey, have you played Augusta?
I have not. I've been on it. One of my old accounts was the ambulance company there, and so I got to drive around in an ambulance, like a golf cart, and it was amazing. It was spectacular because I got behind the scenes of stuff and just what a cool place.
Yeah.
Just crazy cool.
Paul also has this souped-up golf cart that's the craziest thing I've ever seen. It's made by Ford Motor Company, made golf carts for a brief period, you said.
Right, 2000, 2001, I think.
And then they stopped.
Yeah, it made six total of 6,000.
Yeah, because someone at Ford said, what are we doing with golf carts? it's almost like, Rob with weddings.
Right,
what am I doing with weddings, you know?
Yeah, exactly.
So they stopped the golf cart line. But a guy decided he could retrofit them and then gussy them up into this really slick vehicle.
Right.
What's the name of that company?
It's Sean Hyman does it. He lives in Palm Springs.
Okay.
And he finds these things, and he knows how to rebuild them. He strips them down. He does the embroidery, does the fabric, paints them, lifts the suspension, fixes the suspension, puts on 17-inch wheels, puts in a $500 stereo for you. And
it must cost $50,000 by the time it's all done.
Mine was $9,600, which he probably could have sold for $15,000, which I think he's starting to realize he's a little underpriced.
Oh, my God.
Yeah,
I've got cart envy. Is this the guy here that I'm looking at, Sean Hyman here? How do you spell Hyman?
That's it, Sean. Yeah, it's S-H-A-W-N, I think.
Okay, and he's in California?
Yes.
Okay. But, yeah, I guess he does a bunch of different golf courts, right?
Right. Yep. He knows how to strip these things apart and build them.
Oh, my God. He's got golf carts that look like a Model T, unless that's not a golf cart. I can't quite tell exactly. That's very cool. What about your golf carts here, Rob, actually have the slickest sort of digital interface I've seen, and it's from Yamaha, who makes the golf carts. It's embedded right there, and it both keeps score for your group.
Correct.
Delivers a real-time leaderboard.
Correct.
To group outings, although you hate group outings.
I don't hate them.
You'll do one tomorrow.
We'll do one tomorrow.
Grip and rip and sip it.
Yeah, we got a good one tomorrow.
We do have a good one tomorrow.
Yeah.
And it also has a Bluetooth connection for a speaker.
Bluetooth speakers. We've got
yardage.
Chargers, yardage. Chargers for your phones. You name it. We've got it all.
That's fantastic.
Bluetooth speakers. I mean, you name it. It's part of that experience, right? which you don't get at a public course. We have it here. Most courses don't have them. Even private courses don't have them. They still get the old yardage books and stuff like that are taped to it. So it's just a good experience. People love it. It's a place for people to bring their customers. It's a and have a good time and feel premium, right?
Premium. Yeah, exactly. And there's some holes out here. You definitely need a flyby to see what's going on.
Yeah, so. Absolutely. And the other piece is pace of play, right? They have a little timer on there and tells you if you're going fast or going slow, and that keeps our pace of play going. I mean, we can have 300 golfers today and tomorrow, and we'll be at 4 hours or less. I mean, that's my goal.
I think that's a big deal because I noticed that today. You told me there's all these golfers, but we never got backed up. And if you go play a public course, let's just say play Nag in Pewaukee, on a Saturday, it's 5.5 hours. You want to pull your hair out by the time you're done. Yep. I noticed the pace of play today was amazing.
He said it best, Zabe. We're
here for a good time, not a long time.
That's our pace of play rule. It says it on our
camp,
right on our website.
It says it?
Pace of play.
You owe me for that. That's a commission. Yep. That's a trademark phrase, by the way.
Got it. We'll send it.
Unless I stole it from somebody else, which I probably did.
That's the goal, right?
See, baseball is facing this now. You know, the length of game, and more importantly, pace of game. Are you guys big baseball fans or moderate baseball fans?
I can watch the Brewers to a point, but it's too slow.
Yeah.
And it just takes too much time. And then all the reviews.
Oh.
And there should be a clock on the pitcher.
Thank you.
I mean, it's just.
You remember how games used to go. You watch on YouTube an old game uncut, and it's amazing the tempo of it. Pitch, catch, swing, pitch, catch, swing.
Yeah.
And the game was 2.5 hours, and it was perfect.
Yeah.
I used to spend every afternoon. The only grew up in Prairie du Chien, Wisconsin, and all we had was WGN TV.
Yeah.
So we watched the Cubs out there. And back in the day with Grandpa, you'd ride your bike up, watch Cubs, 2.5 hours, play a little catch, and then ride your bike home for dinner.
Right.
Not anymore.
I think baseball has a management crisis of the highest order. I don't think this commissioner has it at all. No feel for the game, no sense of how to get ahead of crises. He's just running from one disaster to the next. And not exactly helping it, but
not at all.
That said, man, if the Brewers can keep going this summer, I know how much this town loves the Brewers, and they've been not good for a long time. But when they just catch that little bit of good baseball, it just electrifies the town. It brings the town together, you know?
Right.
Yeah. Well, and we're all going to get to see it this year. I mean, they're coming back to full capacity. And
exactly.
Life feels really good. I mean, it's going to feel like normal.
Mostly normal.
Mostly normal,
At one point today, I believe the topic of vaccines or COVID came up, and I told you, Rob, I go, don't get me started.
Oh, I like your...
Don't get me started. I'm like Bruce Banner in the Incredible Hulk. Don't make me mad. You wouldn't like me when I'm mad. Don't get me started on everything COVID. Yeah, it'll never end.
Do it.
And I also love the fact I grilled you on your pool issue today because you built yourself a pool.
Yes. I built a pool on the 9th. I got the greatest
pool pond.
Pond would be good for me. We just got a great little setup, and I'm living life, and life is good.
And you and I were talking about Pool Kings, how much we could just binge watch that show.
Sit there and watch it all day. That's my so wife good. Would get so angry, but I That's could good. Watch it. Yeah, they're great. They're amazing.
Paul, do you spend much of your winters here, or you just go to Palm Springs?
I come back and forth for Iron Jock a little bit, but this Iron Jock was a hobby. Now it's turned into a job. So I'm moving around a lot, and so I'll boat back for the winter.
Okay.
Yeah.
But otherwise, when you lived here and worked here, you gutted out the winters like everyone else.
Well, I was in California for a long time.
Oh, you were?
And then when Miller Coors did the merger, they kind of said, here's your job. You get the Midwest.
Oh, okay.
So I left Southern California.
Ah, okay.
So I left.
You're not a native?
I'm a native of Wisconsin.
Oh, you are?
Yep. Went
but
to Madison,
you were in California.
But I was in California, yeah.
Okay, got it.
But I liked it a lot. But I you had to get out of here a lot. We know we had a house out in Florida. We sold that, but we used to, because it was 2.5 hours. So we'd go down there a lot on weekends and stuff. But you're right. It's the winters are long.
Yeah, they're long and tough. And we also talked about the bourbon industry and distilling and everything else and beer and how nowadays everything is fragmented and the tastes change. Tequila is hot now.
Hot now, yeah.
Right? Isn't that what you said, Rob?
Absolutely. Yeah.
Like, they got, isn't there like celebrity tequilas coming out? They're knocking on your door all the time.
We have them. I mean, we have George Clooney's, Casamigos here. We featured on our bev carts, of course. And then we have Dwayne the Rock Johnson
has a tequila.
We have, and then we also have Sincora, I think it is, which is Michael Jordan.
So what is that? Paul, this celebrity liqueurs? I mean, it's all the same juice, basically, right?
Oh, yeah, it's all the same. Vodka's the cheapest and fastest to make. Tequila's second. Bourbon, when you start aging something, like these bourbons age.
That's
like,
a little more tricky.
That's a little more tricky. They put them in oak, like this Central Standard. You know, you talk about they're aging 2 years in barrels. And,
yeah.
I mean, that's money. That's time, right? But when you're just pumping out vodka.
Vodka, yeah, they just crank it out.
They say you can't, the taste, you can't tell.
No, I agree, but vodka is all marketing.
It's all marketing.
It's all bottle, it's all name, it's all brand loyalty.
Packaging. Yep. Yeah, yeah, you're right. No,
yeah.
I agree. Where beer, you know, at least beer, you gotta age it for 30 days. You can't just pull it. You're out, you know.
Where is the beer industry right now?
It's down. It's been declining for the last probably 10 years.
Steady decline?
Steady. 2%, but 10 years, now it's 20. Yeah.
That grows.
Oh my gosh.
Yeah. And the problem with the beer industry is it's declining, and yet it's fragmenting. So you got all these everybody's got zip code beers. I call them, they're not even micros, they're zip code beers now. Yeah. I mean, La Quinta Brewing, everybody wants to drink the beer from their little town, right?
Yep.
So it's fragmenting at an alarming rate. I don't know if alarming is the right word, but it's fragmenting like crazy.
Is it because brewing your beer became easier, cheaper? So is the entry easier?
Well, you can get the equipment right. I think the technology's changed things. I think it's a little bit narcissistic by some of these guys that have a little bit of money.
Yeah.
You know, it's like, you used to have 10 million, now you got one, you bought a small brewery.
Yeah. Right. You know, how to make a small fortune.
You thought you were going to be the next Sam Adams, and it doesn't work that way.
Everyone wants to be the next Sam Adams.
Well,
right?
We bought several. We bought Archer in Southern California. As soon as we bought it, started declining. We bought several. Revolver down in Texas, because a lot of it is these people want to have a relationship with the owner. They're not interested in Miller Coors.
Really?
They're involved with how he built it and how he made it, and they know him, and he lives over here. And
they want the ego of the backstory.
Well, once we took San Archer out of San Diego, it didn't sell in Scottsdale. It wouldn't sell in Chicago, right?
Really?
It sold in San Diego.
Yeah.
But you can't go out of the footprint.
So will beer make a comeback?
Well, I suppose maybe someday. It's all generational, maybe. You know, I don't know. These seltzers have really got into light beers. I mean, they've really gotten into
Coors. Do you drink beer, Rob?
No.
Why not? Well, too slow?
That's why they made Southern Comfort. What do they need beer for?
By the way, when I ordered a SoCo, you called it a SoCo, your eyes lit up. Because
I
didn't.
Yes.
And I hadn't really had it in a while.
Oh,
and that's your go-to, right?
I just need it.
Yeah, I just need it.
It's not a go-to. It's a need.
It's a need.
It helps me with the day.
God, it's amazing.
It's
delicious. And to think, and I told you the story of the Stitzelweller Distillery in Kentucky, where they bragged back in the 80s, we make great bourbon at a profit if we can, but we'll make it at a loss if we must.
Yeah.
And then they closed.
And they closed.
in January of 1990 because they couldn't make any more money.
Mercy!
But then they had all this juice sitting in their barrels, and they guarded it, and it sat there, and then bourbon came back. And they were sitting on a gold mine, and now they're back up and running again.
Well, bourbon is crazy, too. It's kind of that fragmented,
as
you said, Paul, just everywhere, all over the place, and hard to get. And
right, it's a game to get certain things.
It's a complete game to get it. And
yeah.
But people love it, and they drink it here.
I don't think beer is ever going to go away because guys like Timmy say, if I go away from the Coors Light, please stop me. That's what he told me today. Kick me in the shin,
you
said.
Shin.
Right,
you
exactly.
Absolutely.
It was a very odd request. I was like, okay. I'll keep an eye on you and your beer. If that's something harder than beer, I'll remind you, go back to the beer, right?
Do you know why that? Because if you drink vodka seltzers like you drink Miller Lite,
you're going to be peeling you up off the fairways, basically.
You can
basically
drink a lot of Miller Lites in a day and still function, right?
I can't afford to be hungover. Exactly
can't
right.
Be hungover.
It's got to be responsible.
That might be an Obvious shirt that we put together.
I love it. Oh, yeah. Can you tell us the Obvious shirt company? I like to hear this.
Yeah, Obvious T-shirt company. Been working with them, and it's just crazy.
Out of Chicago, right?
Out of the Chicago area, and it is an amazing shirt, just what you think. We have shirts that say, putting is hard, golf is hard, putting sucks, I'd rather be golfing. We're hoping to get our new one up soon, which is I drink at golf, which is a little pun and things that we do here at Fairway. So, but you can
see
there
it, we like, go, right yeah. there, yeah. We have Javi Baez, and you don't.
Yeah, awesome company.
It's such a basic thing.
It's so basic, obvious, and it's awesome.
But it's like genius, basically. Yeah. Well, basically. See, I'm using the basic stuff.
Yeah.
Baseball players.
Baseball player.
Yep.
So they do a lot of stuff with the MLB, and they launched a golf line. There's a golf line in there somewhere, but they've launched this golf line, and so we're going to take it on up here, and we've got great reviews with some of the stuff we've done. Amazing. It feels really wonderful and great price point, I think. And so coming here soon, and we're excited.
How happy are you that I introduced you to Manalo Teaches Golf?
I am super happy about that. But
because
it's
he's very funny. Now,
I'm going to get in trouble at home for watching it every night.
I think he's an actor who started doing these TikTok videos, and I think he is basically just on TikTok. But here he is right here. Can you hear that right there?
Don't hit it over there.
Smack
that.
Slap that shit. Smack that shit. That's his go-to phrase. Smack that shit. I love it. Boys, I had a great time golfing with you. Any stone we left unturned, either with Iron Jock or Fairways of Woodside?
Is this where we get the free hugs?
The hugs come later.
Okay.
And we have to go around the trees.
I see what's up. You say about it.
Free hugs and candy. Ellen has the candy for
this
you.
This thing is sweet.
But I had to lure you into the van. So there you go.
My mom would be so disappointed, but I love it.
All right.
Thanks for having us.
Thanks, guys.
Thank you.
All right.
Appreciate it.
Good time. All right. That is a wrap for today. Thank you so much for downloading and putting up with a somewhat irregular couple of weeks of the Zabecast. Heading the Mobile Strike studio back east on Saturday. Wish me safe driving. I hope the cicadas are gone by the time I get back. I got to tell you, I didn't miss those sons of bitches 1 second while I was here in Wisconsin. Thanks for listening. If you liked what you heard today, do me one small favor. Rate and review at the Apple iTunes store for podcasts or wherever you get your podcasts. It helps out with the algorithmic overlords. And just tell one person. You don't have to tell a bunch of people. You don't have to bug your parents. You got to watch. You got to listen to this guy. He's good. He's interesting. He's got funny friends, interesting friends. Just tell one person. That's all. We all do one person. We'll keep this thing growing. Thanks so much for listening. Have a great weekend, and we will see you next time.
With baseball in full swing and the NBA playoffs off to a hot start, you can make each and every series matter by having a little bit of something-something in the game with MyBookie.ag. Regardless of whether you're betting favorites or underdogs, player prop bets, or just looking to make some cash, MyBookie gives you tons of options to make all your favorite matches a hell of a lot more exciting. And if you're looking to bet for the first time but don't know what to bet on, we're here to help point you in the right direction. For example, say you see an NBA series in which the team that had been favored is suddenly down 0-1. But you know they're the better team. You know they're going to come back. But suddenly, the series price is a whole lot more attractive now that they're down 0-1. Well, go to mybookie.ag, fire in on that one, and make some sweet coin if it comes home. And if it doesn't, guess what? There's more NBA playoffs to come and football after that. Go to mybookie.ag, sign up now, and use promo code ZABE to get your first deposit matched halfway up to $1,000. Let them know we sent you. Use our promo code ZABE to get that free deposit bonus and start your day off with a win. Bet anything, anytime, anywhere with MyBookie.
Say goodbye to your credit card rewards. Greedy corporate mega stores, led by Walmart and Target, are pushing for a law in Congress to take away your hard-earned cash back and travel points to line their pockets. The Durbin-Marshall credit card bill would enact harmful credit card routing mandates that would end credit card rewards as we know it. If you love your credit card rewards, tell your lawmakers, hands off my rewards. Tell them to oppose the Durbin-Marshall credit card bill.